coming down to the 16th bowl. Catholic Boy is pulling away. He's so impressive today, the others didn't even have a prayer. Catholic Boy rolls in the run. Happy Travers.
Live from the backstretch at historic Saratoga Racecourse, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America is brought to you by Pinnell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. And Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Wednesday morning, kicking off another week here at Saratoga. Seth Merrow in here, live from Saratoga, right in front of Clare Court. Happy to have you on board as we, as I say, kick off another week a little bit later on. Humberto Chavez from the racetrack chaplaincy, the charity basketball game tomorrow night, jockeys versus horsemen benefiting the chaplaincy. We'll talk a little bit about that. They have the brunch coming up as well and more. We'll hit on those events. Graham Motion with some horses in over the next few days. We'll touch on those with Graham, and Teresa Gennaro will give us the weekly calendar of events, of things to look forward to on track and off over the next week so you can make your plans. But always starting things out on a Wednesday, either Sean or Joe Clancy from the Saratoga Special. This week, Sean is in. Good morning.
Good morning. Good to be here.
Happy to have you here. Talk a little Saratoga over the past week or so. And just before we get started there, fill us in. You're now a few weeks in as far as publishing issues of the Saratoga Special. Everything smooth?
Smooth, you know, it's never very smooth. Now things have gone pretty well, actually. I mean, the paper's been good. I think we've done 12 issues, which seems hard to believe that we've done that many already. Yeah, it's been fun. I mean, it's been kind of, like I said a few weeks ago, it's almost surreal, the beginning of the whole meet, with things that the weather and then Mary Lou Whitney and even Sea Hero and things. Just, it's been a little, I don't know, it's just been a little unnerving, or I don't know, it's just been a little different. You're just trying to get going, and it's a little bit of a slow start. I mean, the thing I've always loved about Saratoga is always you jump in with that passion, and it's the urgency and the energy. And I think this meet, especially with the first one being this long, it's been a little bit of a slow start. Weather, obviously, things like that didn't help, but it's been a little slow.
You mentioned Mary Lou Whitney, and I had a television production company in town for years, and we used to do a couple of specials every summer that aired on the public broadcasting channel, focusing on the race meet. We do a preview and then kind of a special in the middle of the meet as well. And so I had a couple of chances to do little features and interview Mary Lou Whitney. And, I don't think people realize how important she was to the city beyond the racetrack until they read some of the things about her over the past couple of weeks. Did you have the chance to kind of cover her in the newspaper?
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, I knew her a little bit, not really well, but I remember having a few conversations with her, and her legacy, she and what John Hendrickson have done for the racetrack, the backstretch, these guys back here, the town. Her legacy, her influence will never be, probably never be topped in what she did. And, kind of carried that glamour and the kind of the legacy with such style, which was, it was fun to watch.
The party downtown was a riot that she did for years and years. Yeah. She had a theme every year. One year, and as I said, the television production company, so we would always go down and shoot some footage. She came in. The theme was Wizard of Oz, and so she walks in down the driveway to the Canfield Casino with Dorothy and the Tin Man, and it was something every year. Typically, a couple extra issues, or at least an extra issue for Sales Week. Is that the game plan?
Yes, we do Monday and Tuesday this week. So we start tomorrow. We'll do Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. So you get a couple bonus issues next week, which the readers are looking forward to. The writers are, you
it was
know,
like
dreading
a pause.
That side.
The readers are looking forward to it.
Yeah, exactly. That's all right. It's fun.
And it's a great addition to the Saratoga scene. I say it every week. You can pick it up on track around town or check it out online as well. All right, no steeplechase race today, but let's go back and recap last week's. There was a couple, the Jonathan Kaiser Novice. That was Red to See, and we're going to watch the stretch run here. Red Cena will be the number one horse running second. Arch My Boy, the number 11. And number two, Help from Heaven, runs third. But at an $8 mutual, Red Cena was actually, if I'm pronouncing it correctly, was actually the favorite in the race.
Yeah, he went off favorite. I was impressed with it. This horse is a good horse in England. He kind of lost his way over there. He won three hurdle races and then kind of couldn't quite, he wasn't quite competitive enough when it got in kind of tough for competition. He's struggled at Cheltenham, and he doesn't like soft ground. But Leslie Young brought him over here, perfectly suited to America. Lovely horse. I thought he was really impressive. He gets out of the novice condition there, and will run if he's running the New York Turf Riders Cup first open stakes for him in a couple weeks, which he'll add a lot of he adds a lot of class and ability to that field, which is fun.
Tommy Gardner really working down the stretch, yeah. And it, with no jump in the stretch now, you got to work to get whoever kind of turns for home and has the lead.
Yeah, it's a lot different. I mean, I know when I rode, you couldn't, you could never, you always had to save a little turning for home just to try to get the last fence right. And now you can really start riding a long way out, which if you got enough horse. That horse had a great kick. I mean, he looked like a flat horse finishing. Nice horse. Cheveley Park bred him. They sold him as, I think, a yearling, bought back into him when he was a favorite going to Cheltenham. And then when he didn't pan out the second time for him, they sold him again, and he's come here. Lovely horse.
We'll move on to Thursday, the AP Smithwick Grade 1. And I had a little barbecue over at Kim Weir's house from the TRF Sunday, and I talked with his son, A.P. Smithwick, who's over there. He's a character. He's a lot of fun. It's a new book out, and it was fun talking to him about some of the and he used to be a steeplechase jockey. Yeah. I'll have to talk to you off the air, because some of the stories he told, I want to hear if they happened to you, too. But Winston C. and the A.P. Smithwick, and I liked it, Winston C. Why? Everybody said it later in the afternoon. Everybody who watches this show knows. I'm all about Jonathan Sheppard, so it was great to see Sheppard back in the winner's circle. Winston C., Tommy Gardner, again on board the winner here. I was surprised at the $8 price. I thought we'd get maybe a little more value. Well, I'm going to say second choice in here. Yeah,
everybody gave him away. Gave him away.
But that was a nice performance.
Yeah, nice horse. This is a really good horse. He ran right off the plane at Nashville in a novice stake at the Iroquois Steeplechase. Ran really well that day, and then obviously had a great couple months, acclimating here. That was his first step out of the novice company open stakes. Was very impressive. Same thing. He'll come back in the Turf Riders. That was a good race. I mean, yeah. Von Romany ran well. That was his first start in this country for him.
Second.
Old Hinterland, he ran well. Jibber Farrell, I thought, ran okay. He kind of hit a flat spot a little bit, kind of leaving the backside, but stayed on. So, good group of horses. Should be fun Turf Riders in a couple of weeks.
I banged on the show the Cold Exacta for $60, so I was happy with the result. But again, I was really happy when we saw the photo there. It was great to see Jonathan Sheppard back in the winner's circle.
Yeah, look, he's an icon in our game, both flat and steeplechasing, so it's fun to see him. You know, his business has tailed off a little. He lost some of his best owners over the last couple of years, and Ed Swire supported him from the beginning. Went over and bought an expensive horse in England, and it paid off. I mean, he's a lovely horse. He's a real American type, you know, light, kind of a free-moving horse. He could be a real star in our game.
And, again, that was the first grade one of the meet, the New York Turf Riders coming up. So that's when we'll look for some of these horses to come back and take another shot at stakes action. Let's get some of your thoughts again. Lots of coverage on the racing game via the Saratoga Special. So let me get some of your thoughts this past weekend and then also on the three-year-old scene. But we had two just phenomenal sprint performances this weekend. And first, let's go to Saturday. An Imperial Hint will be the number three horse in here. Imperial Hint, Diamond Oops run second. Mitoli, a little bit disappointing, running third is the 1-2 choice. But at $13.60, repeats in this race. And on that, I had played some pick fours and whatnot, and I really liked Mitoli, but I stood next to somebody right before the race, and I said, you know what? Looking at the race last year, I'm going to go up and back myself up with Imperial Hint. And if you Sunday we watched this race and last year's, It's like a duplicate performance, except this one breaks the track record.
Yeah, this horse is, what a lovely horse. I just love the story. You know, you get the little guy. I mean, I think all of us, you know, whether you're owning horses, training horses, riding, betting them, whatever, you're always just looking for that. You're looking for that one horse. And this little horse has done so much for Louis Carvajal, and you know, he just keeps delivering. You know, watching the race, we started clapping. I mean, he sets a track record, but you got to remember he was going past the eighth pole, and we just started clapping. I mean, and that takes it takes a lot to kind of just like you just have this moment of like, wow, I'm watching this horse do this, and then you see the time, and then when he came back, everybody was clapping for him again, and. He's just an overachiever. He's not much to look at him. You look at him in the paddock, he's very unassuming. He'd walk right past you. A friend of mine said, I said, I like the horse. And a friend of mine said, I didn't think he looked good in the paddock. I said, well, he always looks like that. I mean, he looks good for him, you know. And I'm not knocking him because he's an absolute star. That was the moment. I mean, Saratoga, that's why we do it. That's why we come over here. That's why we, you know, you move mountains to be here. Just for those moments of a live performance, to be standing there and watch that horse run like that was just takes you another place, and you think about all the legends that have run here, and then that little horse performs like that.
I'm glad you mentioned that when he came back, because that again is one of the things I talk about Saratoga. The fans are so into it and so knowledgeable, and they want the horse back. And as he came, they had him right near the fence, walking in front of the clubhouse, and there was that round of applause, right? Because everybody knows what they just saw. That record was a 40-year-old
Spanish
record.
Riddle and Spitestown. You know, I mean, Spanish Riddle was 72, Spitestown equaled it, and then he broke it. And you think about the horses that have run here, and then to be. I mean, I'm sorry, to be fortunate enough to be here, and to follow a sport that we love this much, to be here. Live watching that performance, you don't want. I mean, I'll overdo it. It's like you can tell your, tell your grandchildren, hey, I was there that day. And this place is amazing. I sat in a golf cart today talking to Angel Cordero about Spanish Riddle. I mean, he rode Spanish Riddle to break the track record. And here's, we got a Hall of Famer who rode Spanish Riddle, and you can sit. I just sat in a golf cart and talked to him for 15 minutes about Spanish Riddle, and I just think we're so lucky. I mean, I just think we're so lucky to love this sport so much, and then have the access and the ability to be just standing around watching these things. I don't think you ever want to take it for granted.
You guys do a great job every day of covering it. It's nice to have that daily newspaper that covers the meet and picks up on these stories. And I know after the races, you and Joe and some of your interns, but I see you doing a lot walking out of the winner's circle with the trainer. So you're getting kind of that extra perspective that always makes it into the stories. And we had Louis Carvajal on the show with us on Sunday, and you can tell this was his first Grade 1 winner, and then he repeats up here, and you can tell how thrilled he was at that. Yeah. And I said, it's a track record that's been there for 40 years. You'll probably see it in the program now for a while, and you can tell that had already kind of registered again. He had said to his wife, our name's going to be in there for a long time now with the track record.
Right. I mean, this guy, he trains 10 horses at Monmouth Park. He tried to ride races here. I mean, I remember him sitting in the, we'd sit in the sweat box. And I don't think he was even, like a lot of days he wasn't even riding. He was just in there sweating, hoping to get an opportunity. And I wasn't doing much better. I mean, struggling along as kids trying to make it. And then he was assistant trainer for Bob Durso. And, and that was going okay. Then he quit altogether, went to flying school and became a pilot. And then comes back and gets this horse. I mean, and that's the beauty of our sport. Those things can actually happen. I mean, there's no other sport. There's any other sport in the world that a little guy like that can win a Grade One and set a track record with a little horse that that's his horse. That's his horse of a lifetime. It's just so special to watch.
Orlando Noda in the other day, who has T-Loves to fight. He's like 2 for 3 at the meet currently, and he gave up shrimp fishing to get back into the training.
Exactly.
Game.
Yeah, I mean it's. I mean, it's a credit to them to stick it out, to have the ability and talent to do it right. And a guy's got 10 horses and can deliver a horse like that off a layoff since Dubai. The guy's managed this horse. I mean, he's 6 years old, and he's been able to, especially with sprinters, but they lay it on the line. I mean, there's no horse in our game runs as hard as a sprinter, and it takes more out of him in a race. And this horse has been able to, he's been able to freshen him up and get him back to his best, because he's run a few races. You think, oh, that might be the end of him. Gets him back. I mean, he freshened him up since March. First start since Dubai. Yeah. Getting four works at Monmouth and runs like that. I mean, what a credit. I mean, what a credit to him, the horse, the moment. I just thought that was the highlight of the meet so far. I mean,
again,
it's as good as it gets.
It was, I said, standout performance in the meet on Sunday morning. But then on Sunday afternoon, the Amsterdam Chancelot, we'll watch here, the number 12 horse, just kind of runs away and laughs at his field as the favorite. As well in Chancelot. I said that track record in the Vanderbilt would stand for a long time, the six furlongs. I guess we have to hope Chancelot doesn't elect to come back and try it next year.
Yeah, this horse was so impressive. I mean, it was a huge run. I don't know why he's getting hit. It just drives me crazy that they...
Oh, somebody else said that.
I don't know why he's getting whipped, but anyway, the horse ran great, big effort. I mean, he toyed with him. Lovely horse.
Yeah, it was a big performance on Sunday, again, in the Amsterdam for three-year-olds. And as I say, who knows, maybe he'll show up here next year and try the Vanderbilt. Speaking of three-year-olds, I wanted your opinions on a couple of three-year-old races over the past few days. We'll go back and watch the stretch run of the Jim Dandy Tax, the number two over Tacitus Global Campaign, runs third. And the day before, on Friday, the Curlin, it'll be number eight, highest honors over Endorsed. I thought both of those ran well. Looking at Bikini's, the favorite, ran third. But first, your thoughts on Tax. Tax again, and Tacitus, who went to his nose right at the start. So it was a pretty brave performance to run second. What are your thoughts on the Jim Dandy?
Tax was good. I mean, you know, you have to be, you know, the winner's the most professional, talented, best horse on that day. He ran the most professional race. Tacitus, I mean, that was just a disaster from the start. I think the bobble was one thing, but then even after that, it just got worse. Yeah. I mean, he kind of ran up behind horses into the first turn, and then went inside when it was pretty tiring down inside. When you watch the head on, he didn't have anywhere else to go, so he went inside, then had to just kind of tap the brakes in a little turn, and then kept plugging away. So it was a good effort. It was beyond just stumbling. It was a really kind of hard trip on that horse.
And here's Alex Donners. And Endorsed, I thought second was a good performance too.
Yeah, Highest Honors was good. I mean, he's steady. He didn't really wow you probably visually with that performance, but a little bit like Tax. I mean, they're just stamina's coming and taking over the last part, staying on. Good effort, certainly horse going in the right direction.
Sean, as always, appreciate the visits. And again, we'll tell people to pick up the Saratoga Special or go visit online. This is horseracing.com and check out the digital version, because great coverage of the entire meet. So we'll look forward to either you or Joe back in next week.
Sounds good.
All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Humberto Chavez. Again, a little bit later on, Grand Motion, Teresa Gennaro, all of that after this. Stay tuned.
You like free money? Well, Capital OTB gives its players plenty of opportunities to cash in. At Capital OTB, there are so many ways for horse players to receive bonus dollars by simply participating in promotions such as our bankrolls, bounty bets, online handicapping contests, and much, much more. Plus, with Capital OTB's player rewards program, you get actual cash back. So what are you waiting for? Log on today at CapitalOTB.com or CapitalOTBBet.com and claim your free money.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Wednesday morning, that means a visit from our friend Teresa Gennaro. Go over the calendar of events. On track and off, things that people can do over the next week.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Very good.
Good. Good to be back.
Here at the top of the show, speaking of events, I was at the TRF event last night. I won the 50-50 raffle.
Nice.
Yes.
How much?
It was good.
Good. Gambling money.
Speaking of which, how was the trophy at the museum? I didn't ask you.
It was good. We
Oh, it doesn't sound like it was real good, though.
It wasn't that, yeah. We lost, and we lost by more than we like to lose by, but look, we had a good showing. We had fun. A lot of people showed up, which is good.
A lot of teams playing?
Yep, there were a lot of teams playing. So we'll get them next year.
I like that attitude.
Yeah.
All right, let's go over some of the events coming up Thursday, the Racing Partnership and Syndicate event at the Racing Museum. So that's tomorrow for people who are, and I think this is a way for people to get into the game. And there are all types of levels, and so you can learn more about partnerships at the museum tomorrow.
Yeah, this is the second year in a row that they've done this. And as I think I've said on here before, the museum is really doing a lot to get people into the building this year with a huge number and variety of events. And this is another. A lot of people are interested in seeing how they might get into ownership but don't necessarily have, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars to put into it, and this is a way to get in, have somebody else do all the work, and there are a lot of different partnerships with a lot of different price points. So you can go, you can meet some of the syndicate managers and learn what it's like.
Yeah, and again, that's the important point to make, I think. When you think of partnerships, some people may think of the high end, but you can really get in. I mean, it starts a few hundred dollars up to tens of thousands of dollars, but regardless of what your thought process is or what your bankroll is, there's some place for you to get in and kind of enjoy it. Maybe go stand in the paddock, and maybe more importantly, go stand in the winner's circle.
Yeah, and I think it's important to note that when you, this isn't an investment, like you're probably not going to make money doing this, but it's like,
you make memories.
Right, it's like taking a trip, right? I mean, or going to the theater, like that's where you want to put your entertainment money.
Now, although you can make money.
You can.
So
yes, you can.
You can. You should make that point, too.
Yeah.
Also Thursday, and we'll talk a little bit about this. I see Umberto out in our green room, so we'll talk a little bit about this in a few moments. But the Jockeys versus Horsemen charity basketball game, charity benefiting the New York racetrack chaplaincy. That happens on Thursday night, and it's a new venue, too. It's over at the Y.
Yeah, over at the Saratoga Y, which is also a really cool place at a great venue. Just one of the most fun events of the summer. I mean, up there with jockey karaoke. Jockeys get game. They can move and they can shoot.
Yeah, I was playing last year, and at one point, I think it was one of the Ortiz brothers, comes on the court and whips a behind-the-back pass that nails the other jockey for like a lift. It was crazy.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, do not count them out just because they're small. Yeah. And they do have a ringer this year. Again, another NBA player whose name is escaping me at the moment, but I'm sure Umberto can tell you about that. Also, a great thing about this is that because it's sponsored by so many owners and trainers, admission is free. So you can go over to the Y, hang out, and have a lot of fun for no investment. But there will be raffle tickets and obviously donations for the work of the chaplaincy.
Yeah, chunk in a donation or buy a raffle ticket. Or they typically have some swag, do some T-shirts and stuff you can pick up. And so enjoy that as well. Thursday also, every Thursday down at the Parting Glass, the Andy Serling Show. I typically go around. But go early. I go down and have a hot turkey sandwich and watch the show. But you gotta get there early to get a seat because there's usually a pretty big crowd down there. Standing room only.
Yeah, it's pretty packed. He's got a nice lineup this week.
Yeah, fun lineup.
Gabby Gaudette, Jimmy Jerkins,
Lafitte
Pinkai, and
Craig Milkowski.
Craig Milkowski, who makes the speed figures for Time Flown USA.
A guy who I've been familiar with for years and years because he was one of those early adopters, as was I, of those horse racing forums. They used to be like super popular.
Yeah.
I think Twitter wiped them out, unfortunately. Because the discussion was much better on those forums than it can be on Twitter.
Yep.
There's still Vic's Derby Trail still goes. There's like one or two.
Pace Advantage still out there.
Yeah, you're right. Pace Advantage. There's still a couple of them that are floating around. They're still fun. But it used to be kind of a place where, for a guy like me, I don't really have any family members that are. And even some of my close friends aren't really horse racing, so you could jump on there after a big race and kind of duke it out a little bit, and that was kind of fun. But I remember Craig was one of the originals on some of those racing forums. All right, let's move on to Friday, because Friday obviously has a huge event that people should keep in mind. And speaking of showing up early, the Hall of Fame induction ceremony at the Basic Tipton Pavilion, which has become very, very popular in recent years.
Yeah, and it's, I mean, it's a big deal every year, and there are a lot of inductees this year, but given the fact that Mary Lou Whitney is being inducted and she recently passed away, I think that will also bring a lot of local people out to see that. So it the ceremony begins at 10:30. It is free and open to the public, but seating is limited.
Yeah, Craig Perrett, Royal Delta, My Juliet Way are the Hall of Fame inductees, and Mary Lou Whitney is among the pillars of the turf, which is a relatively new category. Mm-hmm. So there's a kind of a long lineup of those. Jimmy Kilroe in there, Ogden Phipps, but Mary Lou is amongst those. As I say, I think they're playing a little catch up with the pillars of the.
They are.
And Mary Lou Whitney, obviously very, very deserving, as you say. That'll be a highlight of the ceremony. Doors open at 9, ceremony begins at 10:30. Again, Finney Pavilion just down the street from the racetrack.
Yep.
But as I say, it's popular. Typically, I think they show it on the TVs out in the backyard,
I
too.
Think so, too.
If you're kind of overflow, you can catch it. Our friend Barbara Livingston, we should tout, she's being honored at an event on Friday.
Yes, at an event at the Canfield Casino, Classic Legacy Aftercare, which is a kind of a new aftercare organization, will be honoring Barbara and the work that she does. Really cool thing that they're doing, too, is that there's a kind of a graduated ticket price. So for $50, I think you can get in at 8 o'clock and have access to some of the things. For $100, you get in a little earlier, have access to a few more of the things, and then you can also buy tables. So I like that they're trying to make this event accessible to a lot of people, and certainly nobody more deserving than Barbara Livingston to be honored.
Yeah, and SU graduate, like myself, I think she graduated the same time I did, but I did not know her at SU. But
yeah.
I was happy to learn that she was an SU graduate, because go Orange. I was on the Yonkers Monday night with some live cut-ins during the evening. Frank Drucker, their automatic handicapper, also an SU grad. It's a small community.
But a good one.
All right, let's move on to, we'll just quickly touch on something you alluded to. Saturday morning, there's Saturday morning social at the Racing Museum. Our friend Tom Amello offers some handicapping. That's kind of a regular thing on Saturdays. Another one of those museum events you kind of mentioned. Let's move on to, you should also note, Mary Lou Whitney, being Whitney Day.
Yes.
It's going to be a special day honoring Mary Lou Whitney this year.
Yes, and there'll be tributes to her, and Naira has asked that people show up wearing pink, which apparently was Mary Lou's favorite color.
Oh, I didn't know that. I don't think I have anything pink.
Me neither.
Although I have kind of an orange or a coral shirt that some people call pink. Maybe I can make
it's
that
the
work.
Thought that counts.
Sunday, Jockey's Legend Day, that's always a lot of fun. You'll be able to get some autographs to benefit the PDJF. But if you've never been to Jockey's Legend Day, as I say, it's a lot of fun with plenty of names that will be familiar. You've been around the game as long as I have. You can see some of them. I mean, you see Ron Dominguez and Migliori, Angel Cordero. A number of very notable jockeys tend to show up. There's the autograph session around the track as well. It's fun.
Yeah, it is. It's great. And they're honored with a little parade on the track as well.
And then the Dark Days, couple events also on Monday, the Women Reign event.
Mm-hmm. This is for the Jockey Club Safety Net Foundation, which raises money to help people from the track and their families when they are going through periods of financial hardship. It's not a charity that's particularly well known. It is an unsung hero in horse racing. The work they do is really important, and there will be a luncheon at... Sorry. And they'll also be raising money, for the National Museum of Racing as well. So it's a nice event. Tickets are still available. They are on the higher end at $250. But again, a really, really, really great cause.
Also, speaking of great cause, old friends at Cabin Creek, they have the after-the-race cocktail party coming up on Monday.
Yep. This is their annual event, one of their major fundraisers, celebrating their 10th anniversary this year. There's a cash bar with complimentary champagne. Tickets are $100 in advance or $125 at the door. Your money goes to support the retired racehorses at Old Friends at Cabin Creek.
I'll also toss in Thursday tomorrow, Low Rollers. I always like to push Low Rollers.
Yep.
Again, that the meet this year, Thursdays and Sundays for the Low Rollers contest. I've played so far this year every day. Well, except for the canceled Thursday.
Right.
I didn't get in that day, but I played every other day. I'm with it.
I got it.
Yeah, but you won the 50-50 raffle.
I did win the 50-50 raffle.
Let's not be greedy.
All evens out. All right, Teresa, as always, appreciate the visit. I see both Umberto and Graham Moschner in the house, so we will take a break. Come back with more of Racing Across America right after this. Stay tuned.
Looking for a fantastic meal? Stop by Malcolm's, a unique farm-to-table restaurant experience. Located at 617 Union Street in Schenectady, Malcolm's offers locally grown fresh foods, mouthwatering flavors, an enhanced drink menu, and terrific service. Malcolm's is a sure bet during Saratoga season. Make your reservation today.
In a recent study of some of the top online wagering sites, Capital OTB won big in total player rewards, far surpassing some of the best-known wagering sites in America. While other rewards programs simply offer you points redeemable for gift cards, Capital OTB's rebates are paid to you in actual cash. Plus, Capital OTB gives you full and immediate access to your money. So if all you're getting now are points and gift cards, join Capital OTB Player Rewards today and get cash back. Visit CapitalOTBBet.com and sign up today.
Come on.
I want sales reports on my desk by Monday.
Whoops. My bad.
Love racing? RTN brings you every live simulcast on your home television, plus live video streaming and race replays on your PC and mobile devices. To order, visit RTN.tv. RTN, a breed apart.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. Happy to be joined now by trainer Graham Motion. He has some horses in here at Saratoga over the next few days. Graham, good morning.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for stopping by. Before we get into the horses, I got to check out and see how things shaped up the other night across the street. You were one of the judges in the jockey karaoke contest. Can some of those guys sing?
It was a raucous event. It was a great night. they did really well. It was very hard to pick a winner. They were good sports, a lot of fun.
And I always say every year, you know, I had Dylan Davis in the other day, and I said, "You gonna sing?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "You gonna practice? You gonna practice?" He said, "No, not at all." And so he said, "That's part of it. It's fun." But a couple of those guys every year, it seems like they get up and they're actually pretty good.
No, they were good. Dylan was good. He must get it from his dad, I think. No, they were impressive. It was some good performances.
Good crowd, and then
good crowd, yeah, good turnout. And raising money for a great cause. Yeah. You know, and if you didn't make the event this year, make sure you make it next year. It's a great event.
Yeah, it's always a lot of fun. And again, right across the street at the harness track. All right, let's touch on some of the runners you have coming up. King Zachary goes today in the Birdstone. I want to note that King Zachary is coming out of a turf race just a little more than a week ago and tried that, ran seventh in there. So you're coming back pretty quickly. You're going 1.75 miles in the Birdstone. What's the game plan for King Zachary on the quick turnaround?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of what I've always thought he wanted to do. He seems very one-paced to me. I thought the grass would help him. He got off a little slow that day and just never got in the race. The grass didn't seem to help him. To me, this is what he wants to do. He wants to go 1.5 miles, 1.625 miles on the dirt. He's a beautiful horse. He obviously has talent. He won a nice race, the 3-year-old at Churchill on Stephen Foster night last year for Dale. So we're just trying to get back to that point and find the talent. He's a lovely horse.
So your thought process is the mile and a quarter is going to play into the strength of his?
It sure seems what he wants to do to me. He just seems to want to go all day to me.
How do you determine that? I mean, can you figure that out in the morning?
Yeah, I mean, he gives me signs of it. He just doesn't have a huge turn of foot, you know. He doesn't have a lot of gears. He just wants to grind it out.
All right, let's hit on some of your other runners coming up. On Friday, the Hall of Fame, you're going to have English P. We're going to go back a couple races ago, the James Murphy down at Pimlico. English B is going to be the number four horse. Subsequently ran 10th in the Belmont Derby. But again, going back to this performance, what we're watching here was a mile. I guess you're going to get more of the distance he prefers coming up tomorrow or Friday in the Hall of Fame. Is that the game plan for the race on Friday with English B?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we tried the mile and a quarter last time in the Belmont Derby. We took a shot. I don't think that's really what he wants to do. This is a neat little horse. He's very competitive. He very rarely runs a poor race, and I think getting him back to a shorter distance will really help him on Friday.
So your confidence level?
Well, I feel good about running him. I thought it was a pretty competitive race, to be honest, with Saratoga. You know, it's probably a little deeper race than I had anticipated when I entered him, but I feel good about running him.
All right, let's take a look at Her Royal Highness coming up in the Saratoga Oaks on Friday. She's coming out of a second place finish in the Open Mind. We're going to take a look at that at Monmouth last time. Valiant's the number two horse, wins. Her Royal Highness, the number four, runs second. 13-1 that day, so she certainly outran her odds and ran well. Coming out of this, how'd she do? How's she coming into the race on Friday?
Yeah, she's done well. I mean, I thought she's been a little unlucky in both her starts at Monmouth, and both times she acted to me like she wants more ground, so obviously that's the logic here. Again, we're taking a big step up here with her, but she's really finishing strong here against some pretty decent fillies.
And again, that was a nice performance on Monmouth, setting her up for the Belmont Oaks on Friday. I said before you sat down, I pulled up some of the nominations for some of the stakes action coming up over the next few days. Tiber, am I pronouncing that correctly?
Tiber, yes. He'll run Saturday. Probably won't run in the Troy, but I've entered him for an allowance race on Saturday.
And he's coming out of a nice third place finish last time, an allowance optional claimer. Before that, won an allowance optional claimer. So you're just kind of moving into that condition and keep going.
Yeah, I mean, interestingly, in New York, he's able to run a condition better. He can run in a two other than at Saratoga, the way they write the race. So it makes it a little bit easier than the last time he ran up at Belmont when it was a three other than.
And so what the allowance event you're aiming at is?
Is a two other than. Two other than allowance.
Distance?
Race. Five and a half, I believe.
As a handicapper, and I think you'll agree with this, because as a handicapper, it seems to jump off the page at me. But I'll get a trainer's perspective. I always say, when we're doing the handicapping show, sprinting on turf is a real specialty. A horse is either good at it or they're not. And when they're good at it, they're good at it.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the thing is here, the way the tracks are configured, you know, there's no in-between. You kind of have to run five and a half, unless you're at Belmont or perhaps Woodbine, where you could run three quarters or seven eighths. But most of the races sprinting on the turf are five and a half, which is a real specialty.
Yeah. And you got to have that turn of foot. And as I say, for me as a handicapper, it's a specialty. We're going to take a look. You just mentioned Woodbine. We saw you up there at Queen's Plate Day. We were up, obviously, from remote broadcast. You had a nice stake early in the day with Desert Isle. We'll watch that. Desert Isle will be the number eight horse here. And again, pulling up the nominations, Desert Isle is entered in the Della Rose. Is that going to be the game plan coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, we're definitely going to enter it today. It's very hard to get a handle on this race. This race comes up always every year, a sneaky tough race, the Della Rose. So, you know, I'd like to run it, but if it really comes up extremely competitive, we might wait to go back up to Woodbine.
Oh, okay. And from your Fairhill base, you head up to Woodbine fairly often, is that fair to say?
Yeah, we do. I mean, look, I'm fortunate enough to train quite a lot of these Samson horses, which is, you know, an outfit that I've followed since I first came to America. So to be able to train some of their horses is tremendous. And, you know, it obviously makes sense to run some of that horse at Woodbine. That was a restricted race for Canadian breds that she won last time.
And again, nice win on the big day up there. Also, looking up the nominations, Say the Word entered in the Lure or nominated in the Lure. And as we were talking before we went on the air, you said Say the Word will be aimed for Saturday Stake the Lure.
Yeah, I mean, he ran into a really tough horse last time at Woodbine, the Pinot horse, Synchrony,
yeah.
Who really was impressive. I thought my horse ran a good race that day, and I think, you know, if he can run back to that race, he fits in the mix in the lure, which again, it can be a very competitive race, but this horse is a better horse than he was last year.
Yeah, ran third in that King Edward up there, again, on the Queen's Plate card, which had some nice stakes action. Also, we were talking before we went on the air, and you had a couple of two-year-olds that ran recently, Iris Mias and Clochet. Ran second and third up here early in the meet. What's up next for them? Will we see them again here at the meet?
Definitely Irish Mias. I kept him here. You know, that race came off the grass, but they both handled the dirt well in the morning, so they ran second and third to an American Pharaoh, I believe, of Gary Contessa's.
Yeah, who had some experience.
Had some experience. Irish Mias, if he breaks, to me, I think he wins the race. Rajiv loved him. Probably running back up here going 6.5 in the next condition book. I think he's a nice colt. He's out of the Irish War Cry family. He's been a great mare.
And Clochet,
I'd love to get him back up here later in the meet. Probably run him back on the grass. I think he's an Uncle Mo colt. I think he's probably a little better on the grass, but he ran respectably the other day again.
You mentioned getting him back up here. I always like to get the nuts and bolts of the games for trainers. Again, you have the base down at Fair Hill, which is a great home base to kind of get all kinds of tracks on the East Coast. What's your game plan up here? How many stalls you have up here, and how do you transfer horses to Maryland and back and forth?
Yeah, it's a little tricky. So we only have 10 stalls up here right now, and we've run, I don't know, 14, 15 horses already. So we're pretty much rotating all the time. It's hard for me to leave home. You know, we have an all-weather track there, and we have a dirt track. So we're not weather-dependent, which up here you're very weather-dependent.
Yeah.
So I tend to rotate them. Irish Mias is a horse that I thought he'd benefit from staying up here. He's a little nervous, but to keep him up here I think will help him. And not move them around. But obviously the grass horses, to me, it makes sense to get them back to Fair Hill.
And looking at Equibase last night and prep for the interview, I see over the past, you know, couple of weeks or so, Woodbine, obviously, that we've mentioned, but you had some horses run and win out at Presque Isle. Fair Hill, there is a synthetic track there, correct?
Yeah, we have a Tapeta track. It's 7/8. It's inside the dirt track. And it's a great surface.
And so you can get a feel for maybe horses that will benefit heading to up to Woodbine or up to Presque Isle.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, mostly the grass horses, they just tend to train better on it. They're more comfortable on it.
Always when I get trainers in here, I like to do kind of, as I say, the nuts and bolts of the game, because I think people who tune in here, maybe they're getting new to the game, they're just kind of getting into it, coming over and enjoying an afternoon at the races here at Saratoga. Fill us in on feed for race horses. Is it different? What do horses eat? Are there finicky eaters? Does the diet change the closer you get to a race? What's the feed regimen for a racehorse?
You know, we don't change a lot. We have a 13% feed, which is pretty much what we feed throughout the barn. We almost feed free choice, which is something that I was introduced to by my old boss, Bernie Bond, who was an old Maryland trainer. But, you know, a lot of people have different ways of doing it. There's a lot of ways to skin a cat, and, you know, some people feed several times a day. We just feed twice a day. But I don't change a lot depending on them coming up to the race. Perhaps I should.
Well, I don't. You're talking to the wrong guy. I'm curious if that's a thing. 13%, what does that refer to?
So that's the level of nutrients in the feed that we use.
Interesting. And I know every once in a while you read the story about the horse that likes the beer. And do you have any beer in here?
You know, I don't, but I mean, that is not it's not an old wives' tale. That really works for horses that don't sweat.
Totally.
It's something that's been proven to help the non-sweaters. So.
Yeah, that's interesting. Also, couldn't let you go without pulling up and just talking a few minutes about going back a few years ago. We're going to watch the Kentucky Derby from May of 2011. It'll be the number 16 Animal Kingdom getting the job done. And just reflect, and now that we're, you know, 8 years out, does it ever get old? It can't get old. You know, as you watch the race again, and as they say, we're 8 years out, does it remain as special?
What a treat to watch it again. I mean, you know, I do watch it every now and then. I don't watch it regularly. It still gets the heart going a little bit. Gets the emotions going. It's pretty extraordinary.
And talk about how extraordinary it is, because again, you get trainers and you hear trainer interviews, and they all say, you want to win the Derby, because people are always asking you, you're a trainer, have you won the Derby? So when you put that on the resume, just how special is that?
No, it is. And I mean, to me, to be honest, it wasn't something I set out looking to win. I think it's almost unfair to set that goal because it's such a hard race to win. You know, the crazy thing is we came back the next year with another Team Valley horse, and he finished fourth with an unlucky trip, went the day well. So, look, it's hard to get there. That horse was very special to me. He's, you know, without a doubt, probably going to be the best horse I'll ever train. I hope I had one that good again, but it'll be hard to top what he did.
Yeah, he was certainly fun to watch on the racetrack, but I also pulled up the stats. Doing very well as a sire also. I saw you have one of his recently, Safari Queen. These are first-time sire stats, which I like. And I like Animal Kingdom's first time out of the box. I think they're typically live, but as a sire, he's been fun to watch as well.
You know, we were just talking about this morning. He's had a really strong couple of months. I believe he's had a graded stakes winner here at Saratoga with Chad and also won at Del Mar. I don't think any other stallion has done that. So the last two or three months for him has been very strong.
Just before we let you go, what's the most fun thing about being a trainer?
Oh, the horses. You know, I love to be around the horses. That's what got me into it. I wanted to be a jockey as a kid. I knew I wasn't brave enough and was going to be too big to be a jockey, but I love to be around the horses.
Graham, we appreciate the visit. We certainly wish you a lot of good luck, not just this weekend, but throughout the remainder of the meet and through the rest of the year as well. As I say, appreciate the visit. Good luck.
Thanks for having me.
Graham Motion got a number of horses entered this weekend up here at Saratoga, and so we'll certainly be watching those. And again, wishing him good luck. We'll take a break. When we come back, Humberto Chavez, New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. Stay tuned.
Where's the best place to find your favorite teams, your favorite food, daily drink specials, and wagering on live horse racing? Legends Field Sports Bar, 711 Central Avenue, Albany. Get your game on day or night with 75 flat-screen TVs, tournament-style pool tables, a private banquet room, and live horse racing. So if someone asks you where's the best sports bar in the capital region, tell them Legends Field Sports Bar, inside the Clubhouse Racebook, 711 Central Avenue, Albany.
Birdstone is an outside threat. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
What if there was a way to become a better horse player, to have a better knowledge of the game, to be more successful? What if there were a way to take what you've learned, what you know, and make better decisions, better choices? In horse racing, knowledge is a powerful tool. Race results and replays, past performances and live streaming, wagering from all your digital devices. Capital OTB. Become a better horse player.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Wednesday morning. Happy to be joined now by Humberto Chavez from the Racetrack Chaplaincy of New York. Good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Good to be here.
Always happy to have the annual visit just before the jockey horseman basketball game so we can tout that a little bit. Before we do that, just give us the mission of the Racetrack Chaplaincy in general.
Our mission is obviously to make sure that folks have that connection with God, number one, right? But through our many different programs that we service the backstretch community, we have social, educational, and women empowerment programs, and so many others. So we're just not only into the whole spiritual aspect, we try to meet.
You know, again, his space. We lost our connection to Albany, between Albany and Saratoga, but we're back. Umberto Chavez, the Racetrack Chaplaincy of New York. Again, we talked a little bit about the mission of the Racetrack Chaplaincy. You guys do a lot of good work. I should say, before we bounce over to the basketball game, I want to ask you a question, because obviously with Whitney Day coming up on Saturday, Mary Lou Whitney being honored, what was your relationship in the Racetrack Chaplaincy and your thoughts on Mary Lou Whitney and just the work that she and her husband, John Henderson, did for the backstretch?
Well, it was tremendous, yeah. And I think we're going to miss her. But I think her legacy has been implemented in the industry extremely well. I know I've spoken to several backstretch workers, and they feel that that void of not having that individual at that caliber, yeah, to really say hi and break bread with her, because she was at every single Sunday dinner. And she would eat with them and be just like a common person with them. So we're definitely going to miss her, but I think John is going to do a great job of keeping her legacy alive.
Yeah, you would think so. And I said it when the news came out on the show that week. I said that term socialite they use of her didn't do her justice, because no. Movie night and the dinner, she would be right back there. And I reflected on years ago, one of the radio stations from Albany used to be up there with their morning crew, and I think it's Ciro's, and they had like a pre-season kind of morning bash every year, and she would show up and get right in with the folks. And I said this earlier, I don't think a lot of people realized until they read the stories about her how important she was, not just as an owner on the racetrack, but just to the community and certainly the backstretch workers.
Absolutely. She was a champion to those that needed to be championed on. Yeah. You know.
So she will be missed, but again, she'll be honored on Saturday, Whitney Day, the New York Racing Association and the community kind of stepping up in an appropriate fashion, remembering her legacy. All right, let's touch on it. Coming up tomorrow night, the annual basketball game, coaching the jockeys, Angel Cordero, coaching the horsemen, Pletcher and McLaughlin, 6:30 tomorrow, and we should know, new location.
The YMCA has opened up their doors for us to have it there, and we've been wanting to have it there for quite some time, but now it's the time, and I think it's going to work out. YMCA in Saratoga.
6:30, 290 West Avenue, the Y, tomorrow night. I'll also toss out, come watch the jockeys. The jockeys are great. Come watch the horsemen. But I do want to note Mitch Levitis with his commentary throughout the game is part of the entertainment as well.
And he's going to be picking, at some horsemen and jockeys. But and also we have Charles Smith from the Knicks coming in, who's going to be playing with the jocks.
And, again, we're watching some shots here. The jocks, I mentioned it earlier as well. Man, they're good. You kind of think they're at a disadvantage with the height, but they're on a two-year win streak currently. So show up and see if they can keep it going, or that the horsemen can get back in gear. But as I told you last year, one of the Ortiz brothers behind the back pass catches one of his teammates on the run for a layup, and it's like, wait a minute.
Jackies or basketball players,
yeah,
right?
It's like crazy. we should note also clearly. Free admission, but Teresa and I said it. Money into the pot, because it all benefits a great cause.
It sure does, and it benefits our program, our back-to-school program, where our number is 300 backpacks, so that we could service all the backstretch workers and their kids. And you'll be able to donate to the back-to-school program there. You'll be able to buy raffle tickets for a Nintendo Switch and a half-court shot for $500.
Ah, nice. Okay, I won the 50-50 at the TRF thing last night, so I may have to put in and see if I can get a half-court shot.
Why not?
See if I can double up on the week. Again, it's a lot of fun. It's always a lot of fun. And go watch the jockeys because, as I say, you'll kind of sit back and think, wait a minute, how are these guys that good? Tomorrow night, 6:30, the Y 290 West Avenue, jockey versus horseman basketball game. Also want to toss out, you guys have another event coming up on the 14th. Visit the website. You have a chance to donate there as well, but read about some of the programs. One of the ones that intrigued me, the Summer Enrichment Program, which, again, benefits the kids of the backstretch workers.
They sure do. They're in various camps within the Capital Region, and trust me, they have the time of their lives instead of being either sent back home to their countries or stay back in Belmont. So we're grateful that we could service that, our community in that sense. And also that afternoon, we're going to be taking the raffle for our Breeders' Cup package.
Oh, nice.
So you can go to the website and go to rtcany.org and buy a chance for $50 to buy that to get that package. And we're going to take the name out of our badge.
Nice. Again, you can visit the website, rtcany.org. It'll come up. Make sure you type in Racetrack Chaplaincy of New York because there is also a national website. Well, there's a website right there. So swing on by and visit. And you can see up in the top left there, Breeders' Cup VIP package. So if folks want a shot at that, and who doesn't want a shot at that, visit the website and make a donation and jump on board. Before we let you go, again, Racetrack Chaplaincy, how many people do you serve, you know?
About 3,500 at
right?
All three racetracks, yes.
Oh, nice. And so, again, kind of a thing. Do you still have a presence downstate with the folks who remain
yes.
behind to take
so
care of those?
So I'm back and forth. So the people who remain at Belmont, I usually go out there and speak, you know, whatever we need to do for my presence to be there, I'm there.
Very good. Umberto Chavez from the Racetrack Chaplaincy of New York. And again, it's a great organization benefiting all the folks on the backstretch, which is an important part of the game that certainly is worthy of our attention. And you can do it very easily by enjoying the basketball game tomorrow night, the brunch coming up on the 14th. But tomorrow night, once again, Saratoga Y, 6:30. That's 290 West Avenue. Come by and root along the as I'm an alumni of the Horsemen's team, I got to root for the Horsemen. So root for the Horsemen because also just so they can get a win. It's been
yes.
2 years.
Yes.
Got to stop the embarrassment, as it were, on the Horsemen side of things. But that's tomorrow night. Always a lot of fun. Umberto, appreciate it. Again,
my
congratulations
pleasure.
On the great work. Keep it up, and
thank
we'll
you.
Talk again.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to wrap things up on this edition of Racing Across America. Certainly happy to have you join us on this Wednesday morning. Sun has come out. It's starting to get a little humid even. I think it's going to be a nice day. Come on up. Enjoy the racing on this Sunday. A great card of races. Don't forget, 1 and 5 are off the turf, so make those changes. Otherwise, everything stays the same. All right, wrapping it up for this Wednesday. Back tomorrow morning, 9 o'clock for Handicapper Support, 10 o'clock for Racing Across America. We'll see you then.
You've been watching Racing Across America with Seth Merrow. Racing Across America has been brought to you by CapitalOTBBet.com, the premier online wagering site in New York State. CapitalOTBBet.com. Sign up today. Pennell's Restaurant, a Saratoga tradition since 1922. 284 Jefferson Street, Saratoga, just minutes from the track. The Leah Auto Group. To search their inventory, schedule a service appointment, or find a dealership near you, visit leahcars.com. Leah Cars for life. Woodbine Racetrack. Pick, bet, and cheer on world-class horse racing north of the border. And the new Capital OTB mobile app. Wager anytime, anywhere. Download it free from the iTunes Store or Google Play.